This is a participation message. I don't mind if you stand and shout hallelujah from time to time or say amen. I think that's a good thing, all right? So 2 Corinthians 5:17, I want you to read it with me. He said, I already know that scripture. I know you do. That's why we're going to read it. Are you ready? Let's read it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new.
Now, I want you to notice a couple things. The word anyone doesn't mean old. Doesn't matter if you're old or young, black, white, rich or poor, whether you have a record or you have no record, whether you're a junkie or you're not a junkie. Hear me now. If anyone is in Christ, what happens? He's a new creature or a new creation. That's very important for us to get, because we are created by God. How many believe that God created you? Can I see your hand? You're not evolved from a monkey? All right, good. I'm in the right house. We believe that God created man. However, if any man is in Christ, he is newly created. You follow that? That's important for us to catch. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Now, I have to tell you, when I was created, when I was introduced to my life, I came into a culture, a family. Now, some of us came into families who were a little dysfunctional. Can I get a little amen there?
Amen.
All right. Whether it's your mom and dad or it was Uncle Hoo-Hoo or whatever it was, some of them are dysfunctional. Did you know that dysfunction often creates dysfunction?
Yes.
We should have come into a culture that loved us, accepted us, that was affirming, but a lot of us didn't. We came into a culture where we had to perform to get acceptance, or we were not loved unconditionally. We learned that kind of lifestyle. As a result, our experience in our created natural life became associated with the culture of which we were raised. Now, this also happens in the church. We are born again and introduced to a family called the church, a family of God. As a result, many of the dysfunctions of church life are now bred into us or taught to us. For example, we may learn error in doctrine. We may learn interpretation that Holy Spirit no longer heals or empowers people with the gifts of the Spirit. So now you've been brought into a family that has erroneously taught you or molded your thinking or shaped your perspective to relate to a culture called the church. Now, Jesus said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So like I was introduced in the natural, so am I introduced into the spiritual. That's why John says in his letter, you have no one to teach you. You say, well, Pastor, you're putting yourself out of a job. You have an anointing. You have the Holy Spirit. He will guide you where? Into all truth. Now, I can present to you the truth the Holy Spirit has given to me, but you and I are responsible to hear that truth through the Spirit of God and apply it according to the Word of God and not take man's interpretation, right? Every time you read Paul's letters and his practical exhortations, they're always based upon or predicated upon the knowledge of who you are in God. If you read Paul's epistles, it's always spoken based on who you are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So Paul writes from that perspective. He's always presenting the truth based on the new creation. What's difficult is to assimilate that truth If you are confused about who you are, if you don't know who you are, and you are trying to become what others expect you to become, you will read the Bible and have difficulty applying it in your life. Because it's not congruent with the opinions and expectations of others. Now, I know a little bit about this. I was raised with a spirit of rejection. Thank God I got delivered. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. But up until the time of my deliverance, guess what I was doing? Even though I was born again, I was trying to become what others expected of me. Why? So I could avoid rejection. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I didn't know I was accepted by the Father. I didn't know that unconditionally He loved me. I didn't understand that I am a son of God, empowered by the power of the Holy Ghost, that I have a purpose and a destiny on the earth. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I might have heard that, but I didn't know that. I had one of the four levels of knowledge, as we talked about a few weeks ago, but it hadn't become a part of who I am. It wasn't my identity. So when somebody, a church person or anyone else, put that kind of expectation on me, I had to become what they expected in order to feel received and loved. There's a problem with that. Just when you become what you think they want, they change it up on you. They change it up. Now they want something else. You're like, oh, yoy. Now I got to become that. Here's what Paul said. Listen to this, church, please. He said, because you are born of the truth, walk in the truth. Because you are born of the truth, that is who you are, now that is what you do. It is because of who I am, it will equal what I am, what I do. So what we do is the result of who we are. Now, if you see yourself as weak, sinful, no potential, congratulations, you will live up to your expectation. Now, why would we even believe that? Because our parents told us, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. Or society tells us, because of your gender, because of your race, you're inferior, you're not accepted. And we begin to believe that because of our history, because of our failures, because of our sin. You're a felon. You're a pedophile. You're a thief. You're a pervert. You're an addict. You're an alcoholic. No. Wait a minute. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, he may be a new creature, but he's still an alcoholic. Now, understand something, that if we see ourselves as weak, sinful, and just a sinner saved by grace, you and I will never become what Christ called us to become in Him. Then, oh, here's the interesting part. Throw in the well-meaning church. This is what you've got to do if you want to be part of our club. You got to meet these rules. You got to do these regulations. You got to meet the expectation of your bishop, your pastor, your denomination. You got to meet all these rules. Because what they are doing is they're putting on us what they expect us to become. Because we don't know who we are, we're trying to meet the expectation so we could be part of their club. I just want you to know something and make an announcement right now. I don't want to join anybody's club. I am part of the kingdom of God. Amen? Come on, shout hallelujah. So if we don't know who we are, we do all that we do to try to become something. I want to become a man of faith. I want to become powerful in the Spirit. I want to become this or that. I want significance. I want a reputation. I want to become all of this. Wait a minute. If any man be a new Christ, he's a new creature. You and I are complete in Him. all we have to do is discover through the Word of God what we become. How do we do that? Here's a novel idea. Be ye not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove what is the good and perfect will of God. It is through the Word of God. Listen, if it's in the book, that's what I am. You may not have forgiven me, but I'm forgiven. You may not accept me, but God has accepted me. You may not want me, but God wants me. Come on, somebody. You may call me a failure, but God calls me a success. You may call me out, but God's invited me in. Now, don't make me preach. Let's try this. Stop trying to do to become. Try this. Get into the flow out of your awareness of who you are in Christ. Now listen to this. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everybody say that with me, good works. You and I are created in Christ Jesus for what? That's important. Meaning, the good works that you and I perform are what Jesus was talking about. Greater works shall you do than I, because I go to my Father, who will give you the Holy Spirit. You can really identify who's your daddy by what kind of works you perform. When you do good works, you are identifying with your daddy in heaven. But when you do evil works, John 8:44, your father is the devil. That's good preaching right there. A lot of people don't like to hear that in church anymore. I'm going to talk about something in a minute they don't like to hear about anymore either. Everything I do is in the category of good. I don't do anything but good. Because I'm no longer evil. Because I am in Christ. The moment I am not in Christ is the moment that I will have the tendency to talk bad about you. If I'm talking about you, or I'm trying to get revenge, or I'm trying to somehow diminish your worth and elevate my own, it's because I have now slipped into evil works. But if I'm in Christ, you could spit in my face, you could talk about me, you could steal my money, you could take my dog, you can do anything you want, but guess what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in Jesus' name. Why? Because I am in Christ. Why? What do you mean? Because Jesus, while being reviled, did not revile in return. While being threatened, uttered no threats of his own, but he continued to entrust himself to his Father in heaven, who judges righteously. And if I'm in Christ, how can I dog you out? Based on what you do. No. Based on what he did, I've got to bless you. Because that's who I am. I bless and I curse not. You get what I'm saying? Look over at somebody and say, I want to introduce you to the new you. Okay? Is that uncomfortable for you? Okay, look over and say, your name is no longer Adam. You hear that, Pastor? I know that's weird. You say, my name wasn't Adam. My name was John. Your name is no longer Adam because why? Adam lost his inheritance when he sinned. At 18 years of age, I got hired in at U.S. Steel, Lorraine. They gave me a orange-colored, brown-colored hat, goggles, big old gloves, a pick and a shovel. And they said, you see them 30 guys over there? Join them. I said, what are we going to be doing? You see that railroad track that runs for miles? You're going to pick out the coal that dropped in the middle of it and shovel it into a pile. I said, how long are we going to do that? That's the ram, he knows what I'm talking about. He said, you're going to do that all day. I said, Lord have mercy. So I got my pick and I'm picking and I'm shoveling. And I look across the way about 500 yards and I see a row of buildings and offices. And I'm picking and I'm shoveling. And I see guys coming in and out of there with white short sleeve shirts on and yellow hats. And I notice out of the window is air conditioners. And this is July. And I'm picking and I'm shoveling. Working on the chain gang. That's what I felt like. I felt like I was in prison, man. He had Bosco up there with his shotgun waiting for me. I mean, that's exactly the way it was. And as I was picking and shoveling, I looked over there and I said, I want to do that. I want that job. This job's not for me. That's sort of what it's like trying to serve God outside of Christ. The devil will put you in the chain gang. All you'll know is sweat and labor, and you'll be trying and trying and trying, and there'll be somebody that will be enduring with you. There'll be somebody that'll understand with you, even stand shoulder to shoulder. But oh my goodness, if you'll just get in Christ, you can move on up into the office. My dad was a third grade educated guy. He was an immigrant from Hungary. He said, son, he worked there 40 years. He got me the job. I think he missed 3 days of work in 40 years, you know. You don't miss work. When I grew up in my house, you didn't miss work. He said, I don't feel good. He said, so? I said, well, I just don't feel like I can go to work. He said, do you understand something? Your foreman's counting on your presence being there because he has to have that job done. So you get yourself up and you go to work. I said, but I don't feel good. He said, go to work. I said, okay. He said, son, when you're on a break, you get 20 minutes for lunch. In those 20 minutes, you go to those older gentlemen that are working there and you ask them, would you please teach me your job? He said, you eat that sandwich while you're learning another job. And here's the reason why. Because the more that you know, the more valuable you'll become. If you'll put effort into it, you'll become a valuable asset to that department. I said, okay, Dad. So in 20 minutes lunchtime, I went and learned a job. Then I learned another one. Then I learned another one. And within a year and a half, I'd learned all 19 jobs in that entire department, even though I wasn't getting paid for it, because my dad told me to do it. And this is what he said, if there's a layoff, if there's a cutback, if there's a slowdown, they're going to do everything they can to keep you, even though you don't have the seniority, because you are an asset to them. Then they came to me and they said, hey boy, do you want to be a relief foreman? I said, sure. Does it pay more? Yeah, it pays more. I said, I want it. Does it get me to those offices over there? Yeah, that's where you'll end up. I said, I want it. Wasn't quite 20 years of age and took on the position of a relief foreman. You know why? Because I could do all 19 jobs in the department. And I went from working in the railroad tracks, picking and shoveling, and worked my way up to becoming a relief foreman because they had confidence in what I knew. About that time, you know, working in a coke plant, that's a hell on earth. And Pastor Bramley knows about this because we worked together. You don't know anything about coke plant. How many here know about coke plant? Two people. Three people. All right, God bless you. My fellow coke plant workers. The smoke is so thick you can't see your hand in front of your face at times. Men have been killed. They lost their lives on that job. You take a oven door off of that oven where you put coal into it, raw coal. It's 2,800 to 3,200 degrees. If you stand in front of it long enough, your face shield melts. You're walking on top of ovens where you take the lids and fire shoots out 20 feet in the air. And I saw a job transfer. to the bar mills. It was clean. No smoke, no fire, no heat. And so I went to my general foreman. I said, I think I'm going to put in for this transfer. He said, oh, you ought not to do that. I said, why not? He said, because we see potential in you. We see a future for you. And we want to make you a foreman. I'm like, I'm already a foreman. No, no, no. We want to put you in management and give you one of them pretty little yellow hats. You want one of them? I'm like, I don't know. So I turned down the transfer. Let me just say this to some of you that are sitting here today. You've been serving God, but it's been rough. Smoke spill in the air, fire, heat, sweat, wondering what's going on in your life. And the devil gives you an opportunity to transfer out. You're ready to backpedal. You're ready to leave the church. You're ready to walk away. You're ready to go back to the world. Don't do it. You're about to be promoted into something that God has prepared for you. Shout yes! It wasn't 6 months later. They promoted me into management. I was 21 years of age. Only a high school education. I now was in charge of millions of dollars worth of equipment and 50 to 60 men on my crew that were some three times my age. I thought, Lord, how did I get here? I wasn't even saved yet. But know something, God has a transfer for you. If you'll hold on to the truth. Here's what Colossians says. He's transferred us from the... Come on now. Transferred us from where? The kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the Son of His love. God's put in a transfer for you. Don't try to transfer yourself. God sees your life. You see, Adam put in for his own transfer. He sinned. God gave Adam the earth. Have dominion. Multiply. Be fruitful. Take this seed. I blessed you. And he transferred his authority to the devil. Look at the scripture with me, Luke 4, 5, and 6. And the devil taking him upon a high mountain, that's Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How many would like to see the Mount of Temptation in Israel? Would you like to go there where Jesus supposedly had gone? How many would like to go there? You can do that. Pastor Troy's going to go to Israel next year. I might go with him. And you could see that cliff of the rock of where the devil appeared to Jesus and said to him, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You see them, Jesus? All authority I will give to you in their glory. For this has been what? Delivered. Say it now. This has been what?
Delivered.
One more time. This has been what?
Delivered.
Who delivered it? Adam. Adam delivered the kingdoms of this world to Satan. Not Pastor Adam. You know, listen to me now. It's bad enough that Adam lost his inheritance. All that God had planned for him, he lost his inheritance. But listen, he also became joint heir with Satan. Now, not too many people talk about this in church. Now I'm going to get a little controversial. I'm going to talk about hell. We don't like to talk about hell in church anymore because some of us don't even believe there is one. They write books on it, and you can get on Christian television shows that present new truth. No hell. Everybody's saved. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. And I don't support Halloween either. Oh, where did that come from? I don't know. Listen. It's not the drugs that's making me testy. I heard that. Who said that back there? I think he's high. Look, I'm only taking 2 Tylenol. I'm doing pretty good. It's bad enough that Adam lost his inheritance. Stay with me. I won't keep you long. But he also became heirs of Satan's destiny. He traded his inheritance with God and became a joint heir with Satan. Hear me. If you are not in Christ, you are a joint heir with the devil. I know you don't like that. I know that's not comfortable, and I'll probably lose more attendance by preaching the truth. Romans 5:17 says we are joint heirs with Christ. When you are in Christ, you become a joint heir with Christ. What does that mean? Christ's destiny becomes your destiny. Christ's authority becomes your authority. Christ's power becomes your power. Oh, come on now. You need to praise him right there. You say, that's my destiny. That's my inheritance. Whoa. Matthew 25, what a great scripture. Sheep and goats, you know. He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. I want you to read the rest of this. I want you to get this, please. You got to really listen. You got to stay focused. All right? The rest of that where it says, depart from me. Let's read it. Ready? Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared. Stop. Oh, no, stop. Into the everlasting fire, what?
Prepared.
What's been prepared? Everlasting fire. For whom? And? Now watch. Satan rebelled against God. He wanted to be God. God said, there's only one, and that's me. Out. He got cast out of heaven, cast down to the earth. He said, well, if I couldn't trip up God, I'll trip up God's creation. Adam transferred his inheritance. He didn't have any authority over the earth. Didn't have any dominion over the earth. Adam had it all, but Adam, through sin, gave his inheritance away. Come on, Esau! Selling your birthright to our bellies. Adam gave it up. Lost his inheritance. He was the firstborn, first created of God, and gave it up. To whom? The devil. Think about it. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Prepared for whom? The devil and what? His angels. A third of heaven was cast out with him because they were in rebellion. They became demons. That's my opinion. The angels who went with the devil became demons and now work for his work. Work the works of evil. Why is there evil in the world? Because there are people who are joint heirs with the devil. They're in your Congress. They're in your businesses. They're in your politics. They are joint heirs with the devil. They're in your neighborhoods. They're on the sexual abuse list in the Lorain County Sheriff. Why? Because they only know one work, evil. Because they're joint heir with the devil. If you're here today and you're not born again, you are a joint heir with devil. What does that mean? That means you are going to do evil. You're going to steal, kill, and destroy. Why can people, as was reported recently, a local professional stole $7.2 million in fraudulent claims for health care? Why would a professional educated do that kind of fraud, $7.2 million, to get that kind of money into his own pockets? Why? Because he's a joint heir with Satan. And he will only do evil. He will steal, kill, and destroy. Why will people back up and back you down and stab you in the back? Why will people talk about you, dog you out, leave you when you're down? When you need a friend the most, they'll walk away from you. Why? Because they're joint heirs with the devil. God sends no one to the lake of fire. It was not prepared for you. It was not prepared for your children. It was not prepared for the people of this nation or the nations of the earth. The other day I had to get out of the apartment. I was, you know, get out of this surgery. And they said, okay, keep it elevated for 1 week. I said, how are you going to elevate it and walk? He said, you're going to be able to walk. Just keep it elevated. And put ice on it every 30 minutes. He said, you need to do that. I said, okay. So I did it. 7 days, up, ice. You know what I liked about it? Tina, I need more ice. She the best nurse in the whole wide world, man. She went and got me ice. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I said, Tina, it's falling. Can you fix it? I got into it, man. I said, well, if I call for ice, maybe I can say, Tina, I need some coffee. Said, come on, here's some coffee, baby. I said, ooh, how about a sandwich? I said, I got to get out of this apartment. This is driving me crazy. Doctor said, don't walk on it. I was like 6 days into it. I said, I don't care what he says. I'm walking. So I get my little crutch and I go out into the little courtyard and I sit down. And I'm just sitting there. I say, Jesus, because I just saw a friend of mine that I've been talking to. He's Muslim. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to win this guy to the Lord. What am I going to say? I mean, he's really a staunch Muslim. I mean, he does all them ceremonies and stuff and celebrations and quotes the Quran and speaks in Arabic. I mean, he's like the real deal. I said, God, you just have to help me so I can share Jesus with him. So I'm sitting there closing my eyes, just sitting in the sun, thanking God that I'm making through it, all these surgery things. And here, the door opens across the street from his business, and he walks out. And he's walking toward me. I'm thinking, there's so-and-so. I don't want to say his name because he might be watching. Because I know you want to hear me preach. I know you do. But he walks over to me. He says, oh, hello, Luis. Hello, how are you? I said, I'm good. He said, do you mind if I sit down and talk with you for a while? I'm like, Jesus, you're amazing. I just prayed, and now you just brought him over here. So we started talking about the Quran, about Sharia law, Constitution of the United States, the love of Jesus, and no Jesus, only one God, Allah. I get it, man, I get it. I said, Lord, you are good. Now, he didn't, I wish I could tell you, and he repented, and he cried, and he asked Jesus in his heart. That didn't happen. But it's going to happen. Why am I saying that? Because I am an agent of good. Look at somebody and say, you are good. No, no, you don't get it. I'm not saying like a good baker or a good dresser or a good preacher. No, no, you are good. Only the Father in heaven is good, but you are in Christ and his goodness has now become who you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. You are good. Look at somebody and say, you are good. When you yield your life to Christ, listen to me, an amazing miracle takes place. You leave your place in Adam and you come into the place of Christ. You leave your place of Adam. You've got to tell yourself every day, I am no longer Adam. When circumstance tries to drive you into a corner and somebody reminds you of your past, I am no longer Adam. When your own thinking and your own brain begins to condemn you, you need to say, I am no longer an Adam. I have been transferred. I am now a new creation in Christ. I am in Christ. Satan, get behind me. When people try to remind you of who you were outside of Christ, your family, you're still crazy. You were crazy before you went to church. You're more crazy now. Have you had any family members tell you you're crazy? You're giving all that money to church. You're crazy. Now, they don't understand the teaching of faith like Pastor Troy just gave us. That little teaching right there could change your life forever if you'll just stay in Christ. But the moment you hear something like that and you're in Adam, you're like, 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man death, by man also resurrection from death. For even as in Adam all go on dying, those also in Christ shall be made alive. Honey, listen to me. If you're still in this church when I go to heaven, don't you come here whining and crying and all that, because I'm in good shape. And if you come here, I've asked Tina, I want one of those New Year's Eve party hats. I want you all to wear one and a little thing that goes, you know, that thing that goes out and back. And I want you to go, and I want confetti to fall from the ceiling. And I want that song, celebrate good time. Come on. Whoop, whoop. It says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the what? Judgment. But how many know my judgment was 2,000 years ago at Golgotha's Hill? I've been born again. Hallelujah. Don't weep for me. In Christ all shall be made alive. Death, where is thy victory? Huh? Past, how can you cling to me? You can't hold on to me. All things are falling away. All things are becoming new. I'm not the same man that you knew before Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. For if by one man's offense, here's Romans 5:17, death reigned through the one. See, death reigns in your life. You have no choice but to do evil. You're going to get caught. You're not that slick. I've been taking money from the office and nobody knows about it. You're going to get caught. I've been flirting with this little girl over there. You're going to get caught. Mama probably already knows. She just hadn't let you know she knows yet. But she's working it. If by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of Christ, the grace of gift of righteousness, who will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You and I were never to be ruled over. We were to rule. Not just when you get to heaven. You and I are to rule now. We are to rule now. We are to rule now. Rule over what? Rule over the earth. Dominion. Have dominion. Have authority. Over what? Everything Jesus paid for. Yeah. I'm really having more empathy for people that have gone through surgeries. I haven't had any surgery. I got double whammies now. This thing, they said, well, it's got 25% tear. Well, Dad, torn away from the bone. Then they drill your bone and they put a wall anchor in your bone. Not one, two of them. Then they drive a pin in that little wall anchor and tie the tendon down with it and said, you need to work this thing in 4 months, it'll heal. After 8 weeks, it's only 20% healed. So I'm feeling you that have gone through some surgeries. And then I don't even want to tell you what they did to my foot. It's so gross. I told him, I said, look, I want the bone you cut out of my foot. They said, we don't do that. I said, I want the bone cut out of my foot. He said, is this for religious purposes? I said, absolutely. I said, that came with me and it's going with me. I said, I don't want Jesus to be confused when he tries to give me a new body. And I get to heaven and I get a new body and my toes dangling like this. I said, no, no, no. Give me that bone. Well, we've never had this kind of request before. I said, well, mark it down. You've had it now. So guess where I'm going Monday at 1 o'clock? I'm going to pick up my bone. I'm in so much pain, I can't sleep, can't sit up, can't lay down. I still can't lay flat. Sleep an hour, wake up, 2 hours, wake up. I go, oh man, I'm tired. I'm feeling emotionally drained. I don't want to use the D word, but I think I was depressed. I look at Tina. I start crying. She goes, "What's the matter?" I said, I don't know. Then I got the foot surgery, and I said, "Oh my God, what is wrong with me? God." That's right, it's temporary. And in those moments, you have to remember who's in charge. I know that sounds crazy to some of y'all. You're saying, "What a pain was in charge." Oh, no, honey. You are in charge because you have been given dominion and all authority. Why? Because you are now a joint
heir
with
Christ.
No longer a joint heir with devil. No, you are now a joint heir with
Christ.
Therefore, if all authority has been given to him, guess what? You've got all authority. Look at somebody and say, "Your name is not Adam anymore." Look at somebody and say, "You are the redeemed of the Lord." So let the redeemed say so. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God only recognizes two different classes of people on the earth. Either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. Death is sovereign over those who are in Adam. Life is sovereign and rules over those that are in Christ. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been transferred from the power of darkness and conveyed me into the kingdom of His Son, of His love. I am a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we got to start talking to ourselves what the truth is. Remember, I got out of surgery and they said, "Can you move your toe?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm going to give it a shot." I'm like, "Move!" It was moving in my head. It just didn't manifest yet. I'll take this little shoe off and show you. I can whoop. I can move them now. I mean, oh, God's about to move you into something you never could do before and that previously you were unable to do. Somebody ought to get ready because God's about to do something for you that you have not thought possible before. You better shout hallelujah right now. God, thank you that you are about to do something for me that I never thought possible before. Now I got to quit here. I'm about to wear myself out. But it's a good wear out. Two scriptures. You got time for them? 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 45. As it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. If you are in Christ, you are a life-giving spirit. You are connected now to the life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first. You were born out of your mother's womb, natural. Afterward, the spiritual. Continue, please. The first man was of the earth. Made of what? The second man is the Lord from
heaven.
Now, hold that thought. You go to funerals and people say, "Dust to dust and ashes to ashes." Now, I understand what they're saying, but honey, don't use that on me. I came in dust, but I'm going out heaven. I'm sorry. Troy, if you do my funeral, honey, don't you say dust to dust. I came in made of dust, but I'm now in Christ and I was made from heaven. I am now spirit, life-giving spirit. That's who I am. I'm not going back to dust. I'm going to the spirit world, the heavenlies. I'm going to be with Christ. Look at verse 48. As was the man of dust, so also those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, watch, so also are those who are heavenly. I'm heavenly. You can say go to hell, but I can't. You can't make me. I'm heavenly. Isn't that good news? Ephesians 2:13, and I'm going to quit right here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were far off, but now have been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. Adam was driven out of the garden, went to the east, far off. But by the blood of Jesus now we have been drawn near. How? For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. I want you to get that. Broken down the middle wall of separation. You don't have to live in your past. You don't have to live in your addiction. You don't have to live in your failure. You don't have to live in what people have said about you. The wall of separation from what you've always wanted to be to what people have said you are, or what you have agreed to what you are other than God's purpose, that wall has been broken down. You can now cross over in Christ and become what God has purposed for you in your life. Look at the next verse. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Did you know that you and I outside of Christ have enmity in us? Everybody say enmity. Enmity. Jesus abolished how? In his flesh, the enmity. Why? Because in our flesh is where the enmity was resident. So Jesus had to come in as flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. Another teaching. But it was imperative that God send his only begotten Son. Why? Because the only place that enmity could be abolished is if the flesh conquered it. I almost got up and did something right there. Because that's good. But Jesus abolished it in his flesh. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we're to reflect the likeness of the heavenly man. We are in him, joined in spirit, united in him, in a union of shared life. The source of our new life is a life-giving spirit. If you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a depressed time, if you're going through a time where circumstances are closing in on you, or thoughts of the past are haunting you, listen to me. You have a source. It's called the life-giving spirit. All of us are part of one or the other. You're here today and you're not born again. Your joint heir is Satan. Where is Satan ending up at? Where is he going? Lake of fire. That's where he's going. But God never created hell. God never created a lake of fire for you. You joined yourself with the plan. How? By rejecting Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today, you can be born again. You can share in the inheritance of Jesus. Now, some of you don't know what an inheritance is, unless you have a rich uncle. You're waiting for him to go on to the sweet by and by. You know when you call him and say, "How you doing, uncle?" You know inside you're thinking, "Is that a cough I hear?" You know you got something coming. Although you love him, I mean, you know, he lived a good life. Because you got an inheritance coming. That's in the natural. How about in the spiritual? All things have been delivered unto you and me through Christ and the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Joy that's in heaven is yours right now. Peace that is in heaven is yours right now. Come on, don't make me happy in here. My question to you, sir, is do you want heaven or do you want hell? It's not God's choice, it's yours. God never planned and never prepared hell for you. He sent his only begotten Son. That's what he planned for you. That's what he prepared for you. But your rejection of it will keep yourself in Adam. God's saying, I got a transfer for you. I've issued the preacher a transfer slip. All you got to do is sign it. My question is, will you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins? Will you come to him today? Will you understand that the plan of God was specifically given for your life? Your head's bowed. Let me ask this question. You say, hey, preacher, I never understood that being born in the natural is to be born in sin. With enmity in my heart against God, I don't want to be a worker of evil. I don't want to be this person that hurts others and hurts myself and abuses others and abuses myself. I can't seem to help myself. What am I going to do? When I say I don't want to take another drink, I do it anyway. When I say I'll never shoot it up again, I do. Help! My friend, help is on the way, but it takes your will to say no to the world and yes to God, to say no to the devil and yes to Jesus. He will deliver you from the domain of darkness and set your soul free. Hallelujah. You say, hey, preacher, pray for me. I need that. I want that prayer. It's time. I want to be a joint heir with Christ. Pray for me. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to throw your hand up as high as you can if you want that prayer. Are you ready? One, two, three. Throw it up. High. Let me see it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now that you've put your hand up, altar ministers are coming. Here's what I want you to do. If you put your hand up, I want you to stand up. Come on, stand up right where you are and signify the fact that you want God in your life. Now move from where you are and come to prayer at one of these altars right now. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on, keep clapping. Keep on clapping. Keep on clapping. Come on, keep on clapping. Come on, keep on clapping. Come on, keep on clapping. This is your day. This is your moment. This is your time.